praise God. So it was an absolutely apostolic atmosphere on Friday evening. We had a few other churches represented, but when we conduct activities like this, we send out information to other churches so that they can come if they want to, but that's not our focus. Our focus is to have folks, young people from the city, from these high schools, and folks that you've been witnessing to and teaching to come to the house and receive the Holy Ghost. And everything else is ancillary to that. So we don't think organizational. We think in terms of evangelism in everything that we do. And I just want to tell you, the praise group did a phenomenal job. The music was great. You could just see it lifting people up off of their feet almost. And all the planning and preparation that went into it, our youth team does a wonderful, wonderful job. And then down in the altar, we had a lot of people that needed the Holy Ghost, but we had a lot of hands on deck. And part of our approach in body ministry is the idea that these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We also believe that a believer can lay his hand on someone else and they'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so everybody in the house then becomes a vessel, and everybody in the house becomes a minister. And so we were able to effectively minister to a lot of these folks that were in need. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful service. I appreciate everybody that was involved. And we are so thrilled and delighted today to have Brother Mark Dross back with us this morning and this evening. And our quizzers went down to Montgomery yesterday and took over. But we'll talk about them and celebrate them tonight. Will we give out their trophies and stuff tonight? Next Sunday. Oh, we have to wait a whole week? Oh, another tournament next week. Goodness gracious. Go. And here they go. They're taking over the world. The quizzers are like Genghis Khan, just kind of spreading out and taking over. So we can't wait to celebrate them. But what a wonderful quiz nation they are. The quizzers themselves, they work so hard. And all these fine coaches, and Sister Tina does a great job coordinating all this. Let's give them a big hand this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Dross, we'd like for you to come. And this morning, whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you, I love the Dross family. We met Brother Mark Dross' dad down in El Salvador back in the 70s. His dad before him, Brother Bill Dross, was missionary to Colombia and went there and had great revival and couldn't speak a stitch of Spanish. But he had an anointing on his life that drew people. And so these young men, Brother Mark, Brother Stephen, and Brother Danny, have been raised up in the fire of revival all through Central America and El Salvador, Guatemala, and then finally in Mexico. And I am thrilled to have him here as an evangelist this morning. And I want him to just walk in the Holy Ghost, and whatever the Lord says, that's what I want him to tell us. Now, we may be baptizing people. You deal with that the way you want to deal with it. Sometimes we stop, sometimes we don't, because we just want to be baptized. I want us to have a service where we baptize for the full hour or so that we're in service. Yeah. God bless you. We love you.
Hallelujah. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor and First Lady. I honor Pastor and First Lady. Love them. They're great people. They are a gift from God to the church. Amen. And you folks are blessed to have them. Amen. I've known Pastor and First Lady from when I was just a little boy, amen, and they've just been a tremendous, faithful couple, faithful to the kingdom of God, an example, amen, and there aren't too many examples nowadays, Amen. And so you are blessed to be able to have that example here in this place. And I honor their whole family. Amen. I've sure enjoyed having fellowship with the son-in-laws. Hallelujah. Those guys are crazy. Amen. Praise God. Pray, church, pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Just had a great time, and the Lord's been good. On Friday night, I said something that went over like a lead balloon, and because I got confused in the saying of it also, and then I was trying to process it and everything, and when I got up, I said, you folks start where other people finish. And a lot of people probably did not understand at the moment. I wasn't understanding myself what I said. So, sometimes I get confused all by myself. Amen. And what I meant by that is a lot of churches will call it quits once people are already starting to pray through. Amen. That's where you guys start. Y'all start where you begin to minister one to another. And in other places, they stop at that moment. And every time I come, I get excited when I come into this church because it is a different church. It's a unique church, but it's an apostolic church. Amen. It works and functions in an apostolic order. Praise God. Thank God for what God is doing in this church, for the leadership in this church. Somebody ought to thank God for that right now. Glory to God. And I'm excited of how God brought you out of a hidden place into a place of exposure. Amen. Everybody knows where this place is at. Praise God. God is awesome. And it's just the beginning of what the Lord is doing in this church in the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 11 and verse 1 all the way to verse 3. Mark chapter 11 verse 1 all the way to verse 3. Hallelujah. Praise God. I felt this brewing in my spirit this morning. The name of Jesus. Mark chapter 11 and reading verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage, amen, and Bethany, amen. I know Bethany, hallelujah. Almost lost it on that one, praise God. I needed Brother Stephen to come and help me on that one, hallelujah. At the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt, somebody say a donkey, tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to your neighbor and do something that you have probably never done in your life. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I am that donkey. Praise God. Amen. I am that donkey. Now don't start talking like a donkey. Hallelujah. I am. In fact, I want you to just say, I am the donkey. Amen. There's some people sitting next to some folks saying that was revelation right there. So, something just came through right now. Hallelujah. God's doing something. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are awesome. You are powerful. Oh God, you are amazing, God. just in the moment that we feel like we figured you out, you just turn a half an inch, and all of a sudden we are amazed again. We are awestruck again, because there is so much in you that we do not know, but yet you love us, and you reach for us, and you touch us. And I pray by the power of the name of Jesus that you will move in a dynamic way in this service. Put the devil in his place. Let your name be glorified in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Now clap your hands to the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. Most churches would have a problem with this character. He was not a perfect fit for the religious world. He did not look the part, and he did not even speak properly. I imagine he probably even stunk. His right guard took a left. He had battled with a stubborn or even a rebellious spirit within him, because the Bible says, whereon never a man sat. Now I want you to understand, this was a donkey. And in those days, the donkeys were used for work and for transportation. And so the equivalent to that would be you having a car that you never drove. It was just in your driveway. And so therefore this donkey must have been a very stubborn donkey that nobody even sat on him, never even rode this donkey. I don't think he would have even qualified to be one of the ushers of the church. I don't think he would have qualified to be a leader in the church. In fact, there wouldn't have been a seat proper to fit him in the sanctuary. But yet, Jesus says to his disciples to go into the town and that they would see a colt tied up. And he says, loose him and bring him to me. God has purposed this day to bring a loosening in somebody's spirit in the name of Jesus. Let me make something clear to you in this place, that God is going to destroy the very works of the devil that have been a barrier in your life in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I love what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan is a trespasser, and he has no right or authority over your life. Everything Satan holds, he holds it illegally. When God purposed to break you out of the grip of hell, ain't no devil in hell can hold the purpose of God back. Somebody ought to give a shout unto God. Oh, Lord. See, God has purpose to loosen somebody in this place today. Tell your neighbor, I'm about to be loosened by the power of God. And then the Lord gives the reason. He tells them, he says, loosen that colt. He says, because the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. When have you ever thought of God needing something? When have you ever even thought of God having to have a little bit of help? But he says the Lord has need of him. I want you to know, I don't care where you've been or what you've done or what criminal record you have in your life. The bottom line is this: Jesus has need of you. Glory to God. I wish I had a witness in the house. I said, Jesus has need of you. And you might say, but I've got a background. Yeah, he needs you. But I've done a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, but he needs you. You got to get it in your mind. God has need of me. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. See, you got to notice something. There are a lot of people of different walks of life. And some folks have come suited up and they look fancy and everything, but you don't know their full story. You don't know where they came from. You don't know what their background is. You don't know the chains that have been broken out of their life. When the world wouldn't have given one set for them, Jesus gave his blood. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Somebody give a shout unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I look around this place and I see different people praising, I ask myself the question, where is it that God brought them out of? Because the Bible says to him that loves much, it's because they have been forgiven from much. And there are some folks in this place that you know that if it hadn't have been for Jesus, you'd be dead already. Your marriage would have been destroyed already. You would have burnt your brain on crack. But God, oh God, oh, can I get somebody to give a thanksgiving of praise? Hallelujah. 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 See. We all are an ex something in this place. We were all bound by sin and Satan at one time in our lives. But Jesus set us free. In this house, there are ex drug addicts, ex liars, ex thieves. Oh, did I make a mistake? Did I come into the wrong place? I said there's a bunch of X in this place. Hallelujah. Whatever your X is in your life, you ought to give praise to God. Urabasanda yarabahaya. Praise God. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Tell your neighbor, Jesus set me free. I dare you to say it with authority. Jesus set me free. Is there anybody that's been set free by the power of God in this place? Glory to God. Somebody ought to give a set free praise in this place. Hallelujah. Set free praise in this place. Praise God. I want you to understand that it don't matter what your ex is. Every single soul is valuable and vital to God. Slap your neighbor and say, you're valuable. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I want you to freak your neighbor out and say, you're precious. Hallelujah. You're important. Tell them you're important. You're special. Somebody needs to know there are special in this place today. God paid the highest price that he could ever pay when he gave his life on Calvary and shed his blood to redeem you, to bring you out of your sin. That's how valuable you are to the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord. Somebody give God praise in the house. Somebody shout out and say, I'm vital. Vital means urgently needed, indispensable, absolutely necessary and crucial. Your body cannot live without blood. It cannot live without liver. It cannot live without a kidney. And the same way that your body needs these things to be able to live, you and I are just as vital to the plan and the purpose of God as the blood that flows through our body. Tell your neighbor, I'm vital for the kingdom of God. Oh, Lord. Now I'm going to mess you up a little bit. Somebody shout, mess us up. Okay, I will. Praise God. I've heard it said, and I've said it myself many times. You know, you get to that point where you just, you feel like you're the scum of the earth, just the lowest thing there is. And we hear people say, God doesn't need me. God can make it without me. See, it got quiet. Glory. God can do everything. And that is so true. God is awesome and powerful. And then we even add to that, but I am weak and helpless, without purpose, just an empty space occupied here on earth. Just an old lump of coal, worthless and meaningless. You talk to the world will tell you that, yeah, you're right. I know that it sounds very humble and spiritual and self-denying and God exalting, but the truth of it is, it's not biblical. Glory to God. I'm going to mess you up. It's not biblical. In fact, it's opposite of what the Bible teaches. See, the enemy would have you believe this kind of a mindset, because this kind of a mindset separates us from God completely. It puts God in his power and his throne up above where we can never touch or ever even reach. And it leaves us down here on earth barely getting by with one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, just hoping to get a touch every once in a while. It sounds spiritual, but it's not true. Praise God. I lost about 80 of you, 80%. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, just hang in there. He's coming around. Praise God. I've said it so many times to myself, but the Lord reminds me something that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells me in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15 that God dwells in me and I in God. Hallelujah. The Bible even says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 that God lives in me and walks in me. God doesn't just call me up or text me every once in a while or shoots me an email every once in a while or drops by and visits every once in a while, but God has chosen to become a permanent resident inside. Oh Lord, I don't think you heard it. He chose to become a permanent resident inside of you. Glory to God. I wish I had some Holy Ghost people in this place right now. I said, I wish I had some Holy Ghost people in this place. Hallelujah. See, what you got to understand is he walks through my feet. He touches through my hands, and he speaks through my lips. Oh, God, have mercy. Tell your neighbor he's in me. And if he's not in you yet, before church is over with, he'll be in you. I believe that in the Holy Ghost. I believe we're about to have another outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. We're in revival. Does anybody believe that we are in revival in this place? Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. See, you got to understand that God dwells inside of you. When you got the Holy Ghost, God dwells inside of you. When you show up, the kingdom of God shows up with you. Hallelujah. When you get there, God arrives with you. Because God dwells inside of you. This ought to make you walk different. It ought to make you talk different. It ought to make you act different. I'm not some loser. I'm a child of the living God. Somebody give God praise. You got to understand that the kingdom of God is not someplace, somewhere over yonder where nobody even knows where it's at. But the kingdom of God is a present tense reality. It is a here and it is a now and it is within you. Help me, Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. I feel the Lord tugging at somebody's spirit in this place. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Haraboshaya. See, the Bible says in Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That means the authority and the power of the kingdom of God is within you. That's powerful. All by itself, that's a tweet and a half. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God and the authority of God and the power of God is within you.
Don't wait for the kingdom to come. The kingdom is already in you. Some folks are saying, thy kingdom come. His kingdom is already in you. The day you got the Holy Ghost, you got the kingdom inside of you. You got the King inside of you. Oh, Lord, I'm about to go crazy in this place. Can somebody give God praise?
See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a Holy Ghost thing. See, the moment we mess it up is when we make it a human thing. Praise God. I've always said the most perfect time for the church is when nobody showed up. Praise God. It's when nobody comes. Right about 3 o'clock in the morning, when nobody's in this place, that's when the church is perfect. But the moment the door opens up and we start walking into this place, we mess it up because carnality walks into the building. But see, the kingdom of God is not a carnal kingdom. It is a spiritual thing. It is in the Holy Ghost. And it is something that the devil cannot hold back. My God, have mercy. He can mess your flesh up, but he can't touch your spirit. I don't think you heard me. I said he can mess your flesh up, but he can't touch your spirit. Somebody give praise to God. Karabataria la Bosaya. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Together. Notice it says we are together, not laborers for God, but together with God. We are working together. We are partners in labor, in work, together with God. God has chosen to partner with us. Oh, glory. I remember a few years ago when I lived on the mission field and I met my wife. There was a group of people that were coming from Bible school, and I was single at the time, and praise God, amen. And of course, if I was going to meet my wife, I better be single, amen. and I got the list, and on the list they said that there was 3 single ladies coming, and I had a friend with me. And I told him, I said, buddy, I ain't ever been on a date in my life. Amen. And I said, I'm ready. I said, there's 3 single young ladies coming. I said, this is the will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so all of a sudden, the way the airport was set up, you could see the people showing up. And so the first lady that walks through, she was really tall. Well, I ain't tall. Amen. And my friend, he was tall. I said, dude, that's you. And the dude zoned in. He goes, oh, wow. I'm like, bless him, Jesus. Amen. And then the other one that came out, oh, Lord, have mercy. That was not the will of God at all. Praise God. She was a little two-dimensional for me, if you catch my drift. Amen. I was dimensional myself, and I didn't think it would be proper to be 2 zeros next to each other. Glory to God. Forgive me. I am human. Amen. But then my wife walks out. And when she walked out, I zoned in. And I said, there she is. I had a list, and in one session of my list that I had placed before God, in one service, God went check, 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 check. I even went in Spanish and said, Padre de la Gloria. Praise God. It was check, 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 check. I was like, this is the girl. And so we made an agreement when we went to Bible school that we would talk with each other at Bible school. But you gotta understand something. I was a poor little missionary kid stuck on the mission field all this time. I get to Bible school and I see all the fishes all over the place. I'm like, my God, have mercy. Thank you, Lord. And so I ignored my wife. Yeah, pray for me. She's still dealing with that. Hallelujah. So one day, I was with my friends, and we were seated at a table, and I had all my friends, and the door opened to the restaurant, and I kind of looked, and out of the corner of my eye, I caught my wife walking in with her friends and sat right behind me. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Take the wheel. Amen. I was like, okay. And a friend of mine said, hey, you saw who sat behind? I said, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, my wife speaks out in Spanish to me. And she says, Mark, did you forget the deal we made in Mexico? I'm like, oh, God. And two of my friends reached out and grabbed my arm and said, buddy, if you get up from here, this is the point of no return. And I said, fellas, I've done been chosen. I done been chosen. See, you can be stuck amongst the crowd, but when God points you out, you're chosen. I don't think you. You might be all tied up like that donkey was, but when God puts his eye on you, he says, I choose you. You might not have a pedigree, and you might not have a well-known name, and you might not have money, but when God sets his eye on you, ain't no devil in hell gonna hold it back. Somebody give a shout. Somebody say, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. See, somebody probably bound you up and said you're worthless, but God brought you to this place. Oh, Lord. He brought you to this place because he said, I've got need of you. I need you for my purpose. I need you for my plan. I need you for my kingdom. Who am I preaching to in this place? I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Somebody give a shout. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not perfect, but I'm chosen. Hurabashaya. Not perfect. See, the devil will say God don't have anything for you because he knows everything you've done and he knows all the stuff you've been doing in your life and you messed around. You've done so many horrible things and you even come with a mentality of condemnation in your mind because you think, I don't even know why I'm here because God is so big and so awesome. I am nothing but God.
brought you to this place, because God has need of you. Where everybody else might have not valued you, you are valuable in the kingdom of God. I wish I had some folks in this place that know they are valuable in the kingdom of God. God has need of him. You may be seated. I probably told this testimony before, and if I did, just act like as if it's your first time to hear it. Just kind of go like, oh, we didn't hear that one. Praise God. I'm human. Amen. Any other humans in this place? Praise God. I'm glad. Amen. I was kind of freaking out. Amen. But I'm human. And sometimes as a human, I have a tendency of placing judgment on somebody before even knowing the whole story of the situation. Sometimes we forget where God brought us from. And so we're quick to place judgment because we see ourselves where we are now, not where God brought us from. So we have a tendency of placing judgment on somebody. And a lot of times we'll even qualify them if they're heaven bound or hell bound. Just by looking at them. Next. Praise God. And so one of the things that I have prayed in my spirit is for God to help me to not be judgmental. Hallelujah. But to be able to see people through his eyes. Not through my eyes, but through his eyes. And so one day I was in service, and while I was in service, all of a sudden this person came in, and I did not know if it was a man or a woman. It was like, dude, looks like a lady type of thing. I didn't know what it was, and I was like, oh, God, have mercy. Help me, Jesus. I was even starting to feel kind of, remember, I'm human. Somebody say he's human. Hallelujah. And this person is in service, and I was feeling uncomfortable. But see, God brings who he wants in his presence. Whew, I love that. Ooh, I felt the Holy Ghost on that. I said, God brings who he wants in his presence. If it was up to me, heaven would be very empty. Hallelujah. But God knows who he wants in his presence. And so I'm standing there and I'm like, oh, God, have mercy. And so I preach. And when I preach, the first person that came to the altar was this person. And I kept on calling people up to the altar. I'm like, amen. I'm giving two prayers for the price of one. Amen. Two prayers and a prophetic word. Amen. Anybody, come on up. Amen. Praise God. Today it's free. It's free. Hallelujah. I was even, hey, if you need prayer for your dog, come on up. Amen. I was just trying to fill the altar up. Amen. Person was over here, and I started praying on this side of the altar. And I first started two at a time. And then I was like, man, that's too fast. Amen. So I started to dwell one at a time. And I kept on looking. I'm like, oh, God, have mercy. Help me, Lord. Ay, Señor de la Gloria. And I just, oh, Lord, because I'm human. And I get closer to where he was at, dressed like a lady, had makeup on, had a wig on. And I get right close, and I'm next to this person, and I'm praying for this person, and God lets me hear his prayer. And his prayer was, if you don't touch me, who will touch me?
And if you don't change me, who will change me? He said, you are my last hope. Oh, Rabashaya Kataya. Hallelujah. It was in that moment that I realized that behind all of that, there was a broken soul. A broken soul that needed God. A broken soul that the religious world would have rejected. But God had his arms wide open saying, I am the healer for the brokenness of your soul. Uriyalabakataya. Oh, Lord, can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? Did anybody ever come broken to the house of God? But God have mercy upon you. So I saw that. I saw the brokenness. See, you got to understand something. Sin confuses people. It's not God that's confused. It's sin that confuses people. And when people are bound to sin, they will live in a confused mind. But I've seen what happens when God breaks every chain. Your identity is defined in God. Oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost all over that. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. So watch this. When I got in front, I began to pray, and I said, you need to repent of your sins, because you got to repent of your sins. You can't come and expect for God to do something in your life, but still let your sin just dominate in your soul. No, sir. There is a God that will set you free of every bondage of sin in your life. If you just ask him to forgive you, he will break every chain. He will break every bondage. He will do it in the name of Jesus. I feel somebody's going to be loosened in the Holy Ghost in this place today. Somebody give a shout unto God. So I said to him, I said, you need to repent of your sins, oh God. He began to open up his life and just began to cry out to God. And he said, God, forgive me of my sins. He said, I need you. I need you more than the air I breathe. I need you more than my next heartbeat. I need you. I felt the Holy Ghost on him. I said, buddy, you're about to be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. And I said, your tongue will begin to dance in the presence of God by the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Ghost now in Jesus' name. Within a couple of seconds, he began to speak in a new language. Somebody ought to rejoice over that. I said he began to speak in a new language. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands. I'm coming to a close. I'm coming to a close. Urabashaya. He spoke in tongues. He was speaking in tongues for a long time. He spoke in tongues for about 40, 45 minutes. When he gets up from there, he comes to where I'm at, and now he's even walking different. God will straighten you out. Amen. He comes up to me and he says, Pastor, he says, when I was a child, my mama used to take me to an apostolic church, and she told me, if you ever get baptized, you better do it in the name of Jesus. He said, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Can I be baptized in the name of Jesus? See, there's water back there, and there are robes in this place, and the name of Jesus is just as powerful today, and the blood of Jesus is just as powerful today than it's ever been. If you've never been baptized, today is your day. You got to go down in the water. In Jesus' name, glory to God. He said, can I be baptized? I said, you sure can. And we gave him a baptismal robe. He got the robe on, and he went and got into the water. And I said, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus. Now, let me tell you how powerful God is. Let me tell you how powerful he is. Because that man, when he went down into the water, the makeup melted off of his face. The wig fell into the water. The one that went in the water was a confused soul. But the one that came out of the water was a man. Oh, Lord. Somebody ought to shout and rejoice about that. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Stand, if you will. See, the world wouldn't have given a cent for him. Because the world would have said, look at you. Look at the life you have lived. He came to me afterwards. He said, Pastor, can you pray? I said, what's up? He said, I've got AIDS in my body. He said, for over 10 years, I lived working the streets. And I got AIDS in my body. He said, and I know I'm going to die. And I said to him, I said, buddy, if your repentance was genuine, then in the waters of baptism, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I feel Jesus. Can somebody just reach out to the Lord right now? I want you to listen to me right now in the name of Jesus. I feel the sweetness of God's presence in this place, the love of God. Because there are people that walked into this place and you felt worthless, useless. Somebody even told you that this week you are worth nothing. You'll never accomplish anything in your life. You probably felt like maybe even God himself has forgotten about you. But I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. That he's tugging at your heart. He's tugging at your spirit. He's saying, I brought you here so that you'd understand how important you are to me. Mom and dad might not think you're important, but God did not create you to be a void on earth. God created you to be a purpose in his plan. I'm going to make a call right now in the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I ask that the church begin to just begin to whisper a prayer right now, because right now God is tugging.
I have thought about you. I have made a plan. Hosea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You might have thought that you were nothing for God, but God brought you to this house. And in this moment, I challenge you to step out of your doubts and fears and come to this place right here in the name of Jesus. I want you to grab your friend and tell him, let's go. Let's go to the altar. Come on. Come on. I need Jesus. Come on up here. Come on up here. And stand in this place. Everybody, mobilize. Stand in this place. In the name of Jesus, get as close as you can to this altar. There is a glory in this place. There is a glory in this place. God is going to minister to your life right now in the name of Jesus. You thought that you weren't valuable. You thought that you weren't important for God, that God didn't even know where you were, that God don't even know your name. God don't know nothing about you, but you come to the right place. Because it's in this place that he is with open arms. It's in this place he's with open arms. He says, I have need of you. I have need of you. I have need of you. I know you're broken. I can put you together. I know you're hurt and I can heal your hurt. I have need of you. I want ministers to begin to minister. Everybody that ministers. Everybody in this place, find somebody to minister to right now in the name of Jesus. Find somebody to minister to. Young people, you came to this altar. I want you to lift your hands to the presence of God. I want you to close your eyes and begin to say, God, I give myself to you. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you, God. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Somebody lift up that cry. Somebody lift up that cry. There it is, there it is, there it is. Urobosha. Urabata Yarabasaya. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. There is a glory of God.
In the name of Jesus to break every chain.
Just begin to pray for the person that's next to you. Mobilize. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Mobilize. Pray for somebody. He loves you.
To break every
chain. Break every
chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. There is liberating power in this place right now. Chains are going to be broken. Chains are being broken by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. We take authority over every bondage. We take authority over every sin. We take authority over every chain. And we command you to be loosened by the power of the name of Jesus. Be loosened. Be loosened. Be loosened. Be loosened. Now, 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 now.
Every chain.
He's breaking every chain. I need minister ministering. People ministering. I need folks ministering over here. I need more men and women ministering over here. Ghost right now. There are people in this place. You need the Holy Ghost. I'm going to release a word of faith in this place. The Holy Ghost is going to fall upon you. You feel it right now. You feel the Holy Ghost all over you right now. You feel that presence of God all over you right now. But when the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, you got to let him come in. When he comes inside of you, your tongue will begin to dance. You will not understand what you're saying, but you're going to love what you feel in this place. So right now, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to lift your hands right there halfway up. I want you to lift your hands right now. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when I release this word of faith, you begin to praise him. Your tongue will begin to dance. You will feel that glory of God come upon you and take over your life. In the name of Jesus. There you go. Lift up your hands right now. Father, these are hands lifted
of people that are wanting to be filled of your spirit. I believe you're going to fill them now, Lord. God, I put my faith before you. I believe it in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the word of God, and by the power of the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Ghost now, now in Jesus' name. That's it, your tongue wants to dance. Let it dance. Let it dance.
Every day.